Previously on The Dark Side of Love, prominent Sacramento attorney Larry McNabney has fallen under the spell of a beautiful and mysterious woman going by the name of Elisa Rettelsberger, and against the advice of friends and family, he marries her. While the wealthy couple enjoys the high life, Larry's perturbed by his wife's too-close-for-comfort friendship with college student Sarah Dutra, eventually demanding that Elisa get rid of her. Except Sarah is not the one to disappear. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I am your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week I'm putting a spotlight on part two of the case I'm calling, also known as murder. It's fall of 2001, and it has been months since anyone has seen Larry McNabney. His wife, Elisa, has been sloppily building a house of cards to explain Larry's prolonged absence, but whatever she's hiding about why Larry is in the wind is about to come crashing down. So the chain of events that starts the downfall is when Elisa learns that Larry's California law license has expired. And as Ginger Miller, who is working in the office with Elisa, explained to Deadly Wives, Elisa absolutely lost it, and she just shreds the office. She's throwing books, files, papers, whatever she can get her hands on. She's flinging it around the office. According to Ginger, Elisa screamed, quote, "What the F are we gonna do? We don't have Larry. No Larry, no effing license. We are done. We have no money. We are effing done, you guys." Ginger said in Deadly Wives, all the months that she's been working there, she's been wondering, where's Larry? It was then that she realized, quote, "There is no Larry." After Elisa's outburst, Ginger has seen enough, and she goes to the police and tells them that Larry is missing and has been since September, and that she's pretty sure his wife and the secretary, which is Sarah, had something to do with it. Police hop to it because, one, it's been months since Larry disappeared, and also, he's a celebrity around town, a prominent lawyer, so there is no time to waste. And Ginger had been paying very close attention to every detail of the elaborate game of Twister that Sarah and Elisa have been playing all of these months in the office. And she mentions it all to police, who are recording her statement, about how they're moving money out of bank accounts for the firm, taking insurance payouts meant for clients, this elaborate web of lies she's been instructed to regurgitate regarding Larry's whereabouts. You know, Elisa's got Ginger telling people he's off in Costa Rica, he's in rehab, he's, I don't know, with Carmen Sandiego, I don't know, but he's nowhere near his office. While cops are investigating Ginger's claims, they direct her to act like everything is cool, to keep going to the office and do not let on about the investigation. Okay, so now we are in January of 2002, and Elisa calls Ginger at home and says, "We're shutting down the office because Sarah and I are moving to Arizona, and you need to come help pack up the office." So after they pack up, Ginger and Elisa head out to Elisa's horse trailer at a nearby storage unit, which Elisa is using this horse trailer for her own personal stuff, not for a horse. Ginger calls the cops, and cops say, "We're on the way." But they get there too late. Because like Larry, Elisa has, poof, vanished. And where is Sarah Dutra in all of this? Well, the plan was Elisa was going to clean out the office and Sarah was to fly ahead to Arizona and wait for her. Sarah goes to the airport in Sacramento expecting an already paid for plane ticket to be waiting for her. But nope, no such luck. Sarah has been had. Police bring Sarah in for questioning, and she plays dumb, saying she has no idea where Elisa is. Well, I guess she wasn't exactly playing dumb because she really didn't know where Elisa was. But the bottom line is she says she can't help them. Cops have no choice but to let her go and turn their attention to Elisa's horse trailer, which she had left behind. And it is about to give up all kinds of secrets. For starters, Elisa has a rap sheet that's 114 pages long. Way more than stealing a couple of boxes of hair color from the Woolworths. She's also had quite a few aliases between her birth name of Laren Stevens and Elisa Rettelsberger, which is what she told Larry her name was, as in 38. 38 different aliases. Cops learn that Elisa has cleaned out the law firm, cleaned out the mansion she and Larry lived in, and figure, if history tells us anything, She's probably got another alias. Yeah, that's a pretty good guess. And they are still trying to figure out where Larry is. On February 5th, 2002, they get their answer. Workers at a Sacramento vineyard notice a patch of land with vultures flying overhead. They decide it's probably a dead animal, but nevertheless decide to check it out. A leg was sticking out of the ground. It turned out to be a shallow grave containing the body of the long-missing Larry McNabney. Larry McNabney was 52 years old. For the amount of time that Larry had been missing, by this point, 5-6 months, there wasn't a lot of decomposition to the body. So the theory was that he had been kept somewhere else and preserved before being buried in this vineyard. The initial autopsy doesn't show any obvious trauma to the body, like, you know, stabbed or shot or blunt force, and the toxicology screening doesn't show any of the usual poisons. Cops decide Sarah Dutra probably knows what happened, so they bring her back for round two of questioning. At first, Sarah is smacking her gum and playing stupid, again, having no reaction when she is told that Larry's body has been found, claiming that she believed everything Elisa has told her about Larry, which is probably what Elisa told Ginger Miller, was that Larry was an abusive drunk. At one point, Sarah muses, quote, "I'm starting to wonder if I didn't know Elisa as well as I thought I did, and that I had really all this crap pulled over my eyes and I didn't know." Oh, Sarah. Unfortunately, there is still not enough to keep her, so Sarah is let go again. It would be another 3 weeks before cops found Elisa. This time, she'd gone home to Florida, settling down in Destin, where her daughter Haley lived. And because leopard spots, she had a new name, Shane Ivoroni, and she was working at yet another law firm and had conned a guy into letting her use his high-rise condo and had run up fraudulent charges on his credit card at the grocery store and the Gap. He booted her and changed the locks, but what did she care? Because she found shelter for the night with a friend by the name of Robert P. Murphy. For his trouble, the next morning, he found his pickup truck gone, Elisa's Jaguar, parked in its place. It's March of 2002 now. Elisa's daughter Haley contacted police to let them know that the stolen pickup was parked at a local grocery store. Police race to the scene where they find Elisa walking on a nearby beach. Unbelievably, she walked right up to them and said, quote, "I'm the one you're looking for." Elisa was arrested, and pretty much the minute she sat down with detectives, she says, quote, "Did I kill my husband? Yes, I killed my husband." Just in case anybody was wondering. And finally, Elisa reveals what happened to Larry McNabney. September 11th, 2001. As many of us know, this was the day the world was glued to the news as the terrorist attacks unfolded in New York and D.C., which inadvertently provided the perfect cover for Elisa and Sarah. So Elisa and Larry, they're down in L.A. for a horse show, and this is the same horse show where Sarah Dutra showed up, crashed the party, big fight ensues, and Larry says, "I don't want Sarah around anymore. Fire her." Sarah flees back to Sacramento, then Elisa calls her, convinces her to come back, and so she does. So at this point, Elisa has hatched a plan that she's going to take Larry out. He's trying to sever the tie between her and Sarah. She's tired of being married to him, and she wants him gone. So her bright idea, the way she determines is the best way to get rid of him, is to give him horse tranquilizers. Horse tranquilizers. Horse tranquilizers are used to calm a horse down for transport. You know, if they're going to the horse show or cross country or whatever. Somebody's bought the horse. You give horse tranquilizers to a person, that's going to kill them. And Elisa knows this. So she and Sarah, they go down to her trainer's truck and they take out these tranquilizers and a syringe. And Elisa claims, you know, "I'm not sure how I should give him the tranquilizers." First, they put some in his drink, which is what accounted for Larry being so out of it at the horse show on September 10th, 2001, which was the last time anybody remembered seeing him alive. And he was in a wheelchair, being pushed around in a wheelchair. So after drugging his drink didn't work, Sarah and Elisa bring Larry back to the hotel to try again. And Elisa claims that Sarah told her, quote, "Put it in the Visine bottle." Holy hell. That's terrifying. So these two empty out the Visine in the Visine bottle. They take the syringe full of horse tranquilizers and fill up the Visine bottle with horse tranquilizers. And while Larry is sleeping, they squirt the tranquilizer from the Visine bottle into his mouth, incapacitating him, but not killing him. They start freaking out, and that's when they rent the wheelchair because, again, it's 9/11, and nobody was paying attention when Sarah and Elisa wheeled Larry out of the hotel later that day. They put an unconscious Larry in the back seat of Larry's red pickup truck, and they start driving. Larry wakes up and tries to jump into the driver's seat, so now the truck is weaving all over the road, and Sarah, she's in the passenger seat trying to hold him back. Oh, but wait. She's still got that trusty Visine bottle of horse tranquilizers, and she's just filling up his mouth with these drops, paralyzing him once again. So this trio is headed back to Sacramento, but along the way, they make a stop at Yosemite, an area that Sarah was familiar with because she'd spent a lot of time there as a kid. And according to Elisa, they decide, you know what? Let's have Larry rest in peace here. So they get out their shovels and they start digging. Except Larry is still not dead. And Elisa is appalled, apparently, at the thought of burying her husband alive because, you know, that would be bad. Not drugging him full of horse tranquilizers. So they stop digging and return home to Sacramento. Elisa takes him upstairs and cleans him up in the bathtub. And the cop who's interrogating her is confused because this is confusing. And she asks Elisa, quote, I thought you wanted to kill him. You know, so like, why are you giving him a bath? I thought you're trying to take him out. Elisa doesn't have a good answer for that. I mean, she doesn't have a good answer for any of this. Except to say that they, meaning she and Sarah, they just couldn't decide what to do. She claims that she wanted to call poison control, but that Larry said not to, which I can't imagine that. Unless he was just so out of it, he didn't know what she was asking. But she says she did not. And she does say, yeah, I probably should have called poison control, but instead she went to sleep. Boy. And when Elisa woke up the next morning, her husband was dead. Elisa says she and Sarah still really don't know what to do. So while they decide, they stuff Larry's body in a wine fridge in the garage until they can figure out where to bury him. And that is where he stayed for 3 months. While Larry is out there in the garage, Sarah and Elisa go buck wild, spending all of his money, partying like the world has come to an end, which it kind of felt like that after 9/11. All again, while pretending like Larry is off somewhere doing yoga. During this time, Elisa dyed her hair blonde and lost around 30 pounds, was wearing hipper clothes, trying, it seemed, to look like Sarah. As a horse show friend said in a search warrant affidavit, quote, she and her friend Sarah Dutra now looked a lot alike, even sounded alike. In an attempt to throw Larry's family off the trail, one of the many heartless things, among many heartless things, that Elisa did during this time was to invite them to a surprise party for Larry's birthday in December. This is December 2001. And then the day before, she called off the whole thing, blaming it on a last-minute trip that Larry had to take out of town. As Tavia Williams, Larry's daughter, told sfgate.com, quote, that was cold-blooded. Our father was dead for 3 months at that time. Finally, Elisa decided it was time to move Larry out of that refrigerator, and on her own, she got up early and took Larry's body and put it in the back seat of her Jaguar before driving out to a vineyard 15 miles outside of Sacramento. Having decided that as a tribute to her husband's love of vino, a muddy vineyard was where his final resting place should be. Gosh, she's such a sweetheart. So selfless, so giving, so thoughtful. During her interrogation, Elisa concedes that she's toast and declares, quote, I know that I am guilty and I am prepared to deal with the repercussions of it. Well, before Elisa is extradited back to California, she decides to play her trump card. She hung herself in her cell using her bedsheets. Laryn Sims, aka Elisa McNabney, was 36 years old. And because Elisa never met a con she didn't like, her suicide note instructed her attorney to sue the Hernando County Jail for failing to stop her from taking her own life, and that whatever settlement or damages or whatever came of it, should go to her two children. She said in her note, quote, "My actions now will allow them to move into the future without this heavy burden. They won't have to watch my trial on court TV." Sarah Dutcher, now we can't forget about her. That's Elisa's gal pal. She is basically left holding the bag with Elisa's being gone. She's holding the bag, and ultimately, she was charged with capital murder. She went on trial for her part in Larry's murder in early 2003, and her defense was that Elisa was the mastermind and manipulated her into doing her bidding. She was just an innocent victim, you see. The jury did not buy it, and Sarah was convicted of voluntary manslaughter and being an accessory to murder. She was given the maximum sentence of 11 years. After serving about 85% of her sentence, she was released from prison on August 26, 2011, when she was 31 years old. Javier Ramos, former detective with the San Joaquin County Sheriff's Department, commented in Deadly Wives that part of the deep bond between Elisa and Sarah stemmed from them being kindred spirits of sorts, saying, quote, "I think Elisa saw herself in Sarah, and I think in a way together, both of them thought they were smarter than everybody around them. They thought that they were prettier than everybody around them. And when you get that, there's almost like a sense of, well, I can do anything and get away with it." Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I am your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, you can sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes, and you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about The Dark Side of Love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me, and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side.